Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us against all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, hello to you all and welcome. I greet you, my brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. Together, in a very different way, we welcome him into our presence, among and between us. I began our time together with this ancient prayer because one of you had told me it was echoing over and over in your mind. It does seem that a sort of night has fallen over the earth with the coming of the coronavirus. But we also have been blessed this week with days of extraordinary beauty, of quiet and stillness, as if God's light is there, asking us to step into it, giving us time to ponder what that means for each of us and what deeper darknesses that we harbour and cling to both as individuals and as society. This is the first podcast we have made, and many thanks to Ollie, Lizzie and Chris for their help. What we have prepared is a simple service with an opening prayer, a hymn, a psalm, and you're encouraged to join in with the responses to that. This will be followed by the gospel and then some thoughts of mine. We will have a second hymn, a time of prayer, a final hymn and God's blessing. The words to the hymns, the psalm and the gospel are printed on the additional PDF which you may wish to open so you can sing along. You might like to pause this recording now so that you can bring those words up and be ready. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your light, and your faithfulness. We thank you that we can come together before you in new and different ways during this time. We pray that you will be with each one of us and between us, and that your Spirit will move us to praise you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. So let us begin now together to worship him in our first hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Psalm 130. The response to the psalm is, "With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And this is the story of the raising of Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again on the resurrection, on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the Gospel of Christ.
This has been a strange time, hasn't it? On the one hand, there have been lovely, peaceful days when the earth has begun to buzz again with insects. Green and yellow and blue just seem to surround us. There's been time to pause and wonder. And then those days have been interspersed by sudden moments of fear or dread for loved ones and deep, almost wrenching sorrow, horror and compassion for different groups and places that we hear are suffering very badly. On a personal note, I've been full of relief that my husband Tom is getting better from whatever it was that he has had, and then feeling guilty and sick because I am aware that others have not got better. Lizzie challenged me on this. How awful the world would be, she said, if we could not receive the joy and be thankful for the good things that are given. And talking about it with my sister, we wondered if it were possible that we could take these moments of joy into the prayers that well up within us when we hear news from around the world. If you read the earlier part of John's story in chapter 11, you hear that Jesus knew at the outset that he would raise Lazarus. He comes to the sisters with resurrection in his hand. But confronted with their anguish, he takes it on as his own. We are told he is deeply moved. The translations vary, but there is something of anger, something of the clenching of the guts in his response to both their sorrow and as he confronts the closed tomb, as he confronts death. He speaks those great words of truth and promise, I am the resurrection and the life. And we hear that he weeps. Right there is the moment when I can fall in love with the God revealed to us in Jesus. Right there is given a God of might and power who is risen with healing in his wings. But one who is willing and able to come and feel with us the depths of our pain and sorrow. I wonder if it is the beauty and wonder of that deep, loving, healing compassion that enables Lazarus, tied up in the stench of his own decay, to step out of the darkness into the light, to be unbound, to be freed. We are each Lazaruses, each with our own areas of decay that we would prefer to be hidden. Each of us causing decay in others and our world in many ways. Each of us challenged as Lazaruses to come out, to let God lighten our darkness. But also, we too hold the hope and joy of resurrection, and this is so important at this time. As well as praying that we use time given to us to sort our lives before God, as well as that, and more importantly than that, the world needs our focused and regular prayer for others. Our focused and regular prayer. Prayer that is both deeply compassionate and empowered by the joy of the knowledge of the resurrection. And as we pray, I think we can hold both those together. Both are given to us. And if you at this time are overwhelmed with one rather than another, then look to Christ. Ask him to hold them for you. For both are found in our Lord. Ask God to hold them for you in the stillness of your prayer. We're going to sing our next hymn as an introduction to our shared time of prayers, a stilling of our souls before God as we bring the suffering of the world to him. As we sing the words, Be still, my soul, let there also be an awareness of all the souls who need our compassionate, redeeming God.
Be still, my soul.
Let us pray. For all those who are suffering with illness, or worrying symptoms, or pain, or disability, and find each day a challenge. Lord, we pray. For the doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals working so hard to care for the sick, often in overwhelming circumstances. Lord, we pray. For those who are anxious or fearful or lonely or feeling isolated and in need of companionship and peace of heart. Lord, we pray. For those in our cities and on our streets who feel abandoned by society and may go without food or shelter tonight. Lord, we pray. For your loving presence within our families and communities, and for the compassion and self-sacrifice that can bring people together in adversity. Lord, we pray.
We say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Before we go, I'd like to say thank you for joining us today. It feels so precious to be able to pray and worship with you. And I don't think it matters whether you listen to this podcast either on Sunday or Monday or whenever suits you. We are worshiping together. I also want to let you know that unless I am told that I shouldn't, I will be celebrating communion each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And when I break the bread and when I pour the wine and receive those gifts, I will do so on behalf of each one of you and on behalf of the communities in which we live. For God breaks himself open now in all our places for our salvation. Let us together receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray, now and always. Amen. My